Well, he's tall, isn't he? Look at that. Well, as you know, this is the Wyatts last night. They're PCSing, and as I said this morning, way too many going away fellowships this last year or so. I think we're not going to do any more of those. We're just going to start praying for the next person that joins. We're going to have a glorious Welcome to Calvary fellowship for them. But they are leaving, and we're going to have a fellowship for them right after the evening service, soup and chili fellowship. I didn't get a chance to get downstairs, but I'm sure if it looks like a normal soup and chili fellowship, there's probably a lot of soup and chili down there. And if you're visiting, you're sure, not only are you welcome to stay, we'd enjoy having you stay and eat. Just, you don't have to stay, you can stay as long as you want to, just get a chance to know you a little bit, and we'd sure enjoy that. But again, it's been good to have the Wyatts with us. I've been here for a while and got plugged in and involved, which I appreciate. And then, of course, Brother Wyatt surrendered to preach and was starting to take Bible, and I think got two classes, two classes, I think, under his belt, two or three, whichever it is. And so just kind of really getting started, training, and they're having a PCS, which is part of it. So I thought Wednesday night, never thought about this until Wednesday night, but Wednesday night I asked him if he wanted to preach one last time before he left. And Lord must have known, because if you haven't heard, you know, I went home right after church this morning and spent the whole afternoon on the roof because we had a big limb came down on the roof, and I now have three brand new holes in my brand new roof, about fist size, and we had water inside, and so I got off the roof in time to get dressed and get here tonight. So Lord must have known I was going to be a little stretched this afternoon. I will tell you this much. I was telling one of the men for church, do not waste your money on leaf guards. Because that big old limb was covering leaves and went right through those leaf guards, never even slowed down. So don't waste money on leaf guards. They're an absolute waste of money. Right. So I'm going to call the insurance company in the morning and tell them, you know that brand new roof you just put on? Well, it's got three brand new holes in it. So we need to do some work again. So the Lord must have known. Amen. To make a long story short. And so Brother Wyatt's going to come and preach tonight. So let's give him our attention. Amen. And get behind him and amen. If you agree with him, just say, woe is me if you don't, I guess, but just to get behind him and we'll let him do his farewell to the troops. Amen. Before he leaves. Brother Wyatt.
Thank you, Pastor. If you would, don't stand just yet, but turn to 1 Petre. For you non-Greek speakers, that's Peter. 1 Peter. We're going to start in chapter 1. While you're turning, I'm going to talk just for a little bit. We'd like to say, if you are here visiting or you're not a member, I highly encourage you to come and join this church. It'd be the best thing you ever did for you, for your now and for your future. And if you are here serving, keep serving. Add more to the plate, like you're going to do in a few minutes, okay? Add more to the plate and keep adding more to the plate and don't take things off the plate, okay? And so don't want to start preaching just yet in the intro to the intro, but just want to encourage you, if you are not a member or a member, please just keep being faithful. And if you're not a member, this is a wonderful place to get your family grounded and going in the right direction, amen. Then also, I can go spend 40 minutes just going through each aisle, pew, and just recognizing what people. I unmuted it. Is that it? We're good. So that means I wasn't on mute when I was over there singing. I hope I didn't run any visitors off already. Sorry, Pastor. Where was I? Oh, just wanted to say I can't repay anyone enough. You know each and every last individual here. I truly, truly appreciate you. Faithful Sunday school teachers, Brother Sam. Such a wonderful teacher for me and my family, and learned so many wonderful values and nuggets from him. If you're not involved in a Sunday school class, or I'm not trying to rob anybody else, but if you're married, you should be in his class, front row and center. That is just a wonderful lesson each and every week you get from him. And Kent, Mrs. Auger, the blessing you've given my boys. I'm not going to cry. But for the last 3 or so years, just man, it's getting hot in here a little bit. Starting to sweat. All right, just the blessing that your prayers, your preparation for your message you taught my boy, Rod, and him making a profession of faith. Amen. Can't repay you. No way to repay you. And all the other Sunday school teachers, we talk about your lessons and illustrations, and sometimes the boys stand up and, at home and mimic you. And so sometimes I even say, the Bible says this. Well, Brother French says, so your lessons have been memorized and they do get retaught in my home many of times. And so can't repay you. The friendships I've built with the guys, Andrew and Austin. The countless hours of Austin giving me theology lessons. Can't repay it. And Andrew just being there just to listen. Can't repay it. Brother Clay, you ever need something done particularly well, you call Brother Clay. He's going to come over and he's going to make sure it's done precisely how it's supposed to be done. And there's no other way. And even if he builds something for you and then 2 weeks later your wife says, oh, we got to tear that down, he will still sacrifice his time to come over to your home and the fellowship and being able to depend. I can go on and on and on. Many people down each and every last row. I just want to say our family truly love you, and I wish as soon as I got from overseas I would have came to this church, but I thought God had called me somewhere else. And it just didn't work out. And so thank you guys for being faithful for many of years. And now we got the opportunity to serve here for 3.5. And I do plan on, I'm trying my best to work around pastor and the schedule and getting still taking institute classes. I'll mention that a little bit more here in a little bit. But I do plan on staying grounded and getting those classes done because... can't replace it. Now, I don't want to give my message away, so I'm going to save that part of it for a little bit later. All right, you're all warmed up now. Got your giggle bugs out. Now I get to lay down the hammer. If you would, stand with me. Is this new water up here? COVID-19. I trust Pastor in this, but I don't want to drink after him. Ah, ooh, it's hot up here, Pastor. I don't see how you do it without sweating underneath your eyes. All right, where were we? First Peter, for the sake of time, let's just read one verse. I practice all those fancy words, too. But for the sake of time, we're just going to... read one verse, verse 16. It says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Brother Hubbard, would you please pray for this message? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of respect of God's word. Peter is writing here to the churches scattered around Asia Minor, and he's preaching and teaching to them the grace of God, the goodness of God, and the gift of God. And he's welling home all those good attributes of God. And it is because of all that God has done for you, and because of you being nothing without him, because you cannot within yourself impress him. You should strive. You should strive. You should stride. You should seek. You should submit. You should surround. You should sustain. Secure yourself to holiness. Amen. To holiness. Don't have to turn there, but if you can't keep up, keep up. But Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We tend to forget, we are called, Christians here I'm talking to, we are called to be holy. This is something that is not just for evangelists, for missionaries, for pastors and pastors' wives and pastors' kids. This is for every Christian. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was beaten. He was smitten. He was ridiculed. His beard was plucked out. He was unrecognizable for you. And he said, be holy like I'm holy. Oh, yes, it's a tall task. It's a tall task, no doubt. But we have to strive to get there. Holy is defined in multiple ways. I'm going to go over just a few of them. Holy. To make holy, set apart for God. How much time do you spend making yourself holy? How much time do we spend setting ourselves apart for God? To sanctify. To make opposite of common. There's a fancy word in Greek for that word common. If I said it, you wouldn't recognize it, so I'm not going to even bother saying it. But it means that word common there means to be shared by others, defiled or unclean. He said to make opposite of that. Sacred, blameless, pure. Are you sacred? Are you blameless? Are you pure? Separate from sin. I know it's hard, especially in this day and age, but are we separate from sin? Consecrated to God. We sing it, consecrate me, Lord. But are we? Free from defilement. It's tough, I know. This is tough stuff, but we're called to do it. Not praising something higher than Jehovah. Is anything neck and neck with Jehovah? Anything right there with God? Respecting God's word and being devoutly revered to it. How sold out are you on the word of God? How well do you know it? The more you know something, the more devoted you'll be to it. Be holy also means that you are a saint. Living life guided by the Holy Spirit. Not the holy flesh, not the holy world, but the Holy Spirit. Are you easily guided? Divine character, thus distinguished from human statutes and relations, free from wickedness. How divine is our character? Be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:16. So today I want to preach this, or tonight I want to preach this message entitled, Be Holy with a Purpose. Be holy with a purpose. One, if we're going to be holy with a purpose, we have to rid off indecency. We have to rid off indecency. Let's look there in verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all manner of conversation. Not some conversation, not some manners, not some walk of life, not this walk of life, not what's comfortable for me, but all manner of life. All manner of conversation. You need to be holy. Every second of your life needs to be spent pursuing holiness. That is the goal. That is the expectation of a Christian. Once again, we don't come into church and compare our holiness to the next person. We don't compare ourselves to the pastor's family or to the Sunday school's family or to this person's family or that person's family. We compare our holiness to Christ. Too much looking around and seeing who is holier than now is going on in not just our church, but in churches general. I was telling my football team that the goal is to score. We got to go 100 yards. So what if we get out to a fast start and we beat everybody to the 50-yard line, and then we look back and stick our chest out and wave our fists like we're the champions because we beat everybody to the 50-yard line? That means nothing. The goal is the 100 yards. That's where you score. That's where you get the touchdown. Some of us Christians, we get dressing right and looking right, and we read our Bibles, and we're praying, and we're soul winning, and we're cleaning, and we're cutting grass, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, and we're doing this and doing that, and we start to stick our chest out. But we only on the 50-yard line. We got a whole another 50 yards to go. To rid off indecency, we need to do two things. One is stay separated. Stay separated. What does stay separated mean? That sounds fishy. Stay separated means wear holiness. Wear holy garments. Wear holy clothes. Hey, what's the alternative? To look like this or look like that or look like you're selling something or look like you're showing off all your physique and your 24-hour fitness iron pumping? No. Huh? We should walk holy. Walk holy with holy friends. What's the alternative? What does Proverbs say? A companion of fools will be destroyed. That's the alternative. Wear holy garments. Walk holy. And then also want holy things. Desire holy things. What's the alternative? Desiring the world and all its riches and its glory and its fun and its sin and its pleasures. Only lasts for a season. Only lasts for a season. But holiness can walk with you in heaven. One, stay separated. Two, stay sanctified. Purify yourself. Position yourself. Protect yourself. You should purify yourself. Guard your time, your treasure, and your talent. Guard it. It's one thing in life that nobody else can take away from you, and you are the ultimate in control of it and how you use it. Guard yourself when you're on social media. Guard yourself in the movies. Guard yourself with the music. Guard yourself with the position, with the magazines. And guard yourself with the books you read and the novels you read and all the other influences you have. Guard yourself. Position yourself around like-minded Christians. It's some corner ones. I agree. Don't position yourself with them. Make the trend holiness, and guess what? They'll catch on. Or they'll leave you alone. But if you keep letting them creep in your ear and telling you this and that and telling you this, and next thing you know, you're going to be, well, Dad, well, Mom, they do this or they do that or they act like this or they wear that. And why can't we do this? And why can't we go here? And wham, 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 wham. Call the wambulance. Why? Position yourself. Protect yourself. There's a lot of things out there called for the sake of Christianity that is not Christian. Protect yourself. Stay separated. Stay sanctified. That's one, how you can rid off indecency. Then two, reform your ideology. Reform your ideology. Verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Change your thinking. Well, I grew up like this, and in my day this happened, and in these times this happened, and this is just the way things are going, and blah, 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 blah. I always thought this way. Christians have forgotten what is really cool. Is cool still a cool word to say? We have forgotten what's cool. What is not cool is making varsity. Woo, we made varsity. Now, I'm a sports guy, so you guys know I'm not knocking the sports world or whatever the case may be, but we in small town Warrensburg, Knobnoster. You go on out for varsity, it's six spots on the team, only five people show up, and you made it. I tell my boys all the time, we don't want to be just the best team in Warrensburg or the best players in Warrensburg. We want to be the best players in the world. In the world. Same thing for me as far as pursuing holiness and being a Christian. I don't want to just be the best Christian on my pew or in my church or in my community. I want to be the best in the world. I want to be like Christ. That's the goal. What's not cool is touching before marriage. Ooh, don't go there, brother. I can go there. The Bible backs me up. 1 Corinthians 7:1. I can go there. We still cool. Hey, if your person that you are engaged or dating or whatever the case may be is pressuring you to touch before marriage, that's probably not the one for you. But on the flip side, if they can withstand and withhold themselves and they don't have to put pressure on you to forsake your holiness, that might be a good one right there. You might want to hold on to that one. That's all I say about that, so we still cool. Playing video games all day. Not cool. You say, I can make $25,000 playing a Madden tournament. I can make $50,000 playing Call of Duty and Fortnite. Hey, if that's your calling to go and shoot people in the virtual world or throw virtual touchdowns or shoot virtual baskets in the hoop and they want to pay you $25,000, $50,000, cool. Keep it as a 9-to-5. I'm all happy for you. But just sitting there and spending 13, 14 hours in one day playing a video game for entertainment and getting nothing out of it, not cool. I don't care how cool you think you are by telling me how many shots and kills and points you scored. Loving money, not cool. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not cool. But I got a lot of, it don't matter. Bible says it's not cool. I'm saying it's not cool. Fancy cars and big homes, all that stuff, that's not cool. But you have, well, we have, it's not cool. The newest gadgets and iPhones and this phone and that phone, and I got 7 cameras on my phone, and my phone can search the internet in 0.22 seconds, and so what? Can you take it to heaven with you? Huh? When you walk in heaven's gate, will God say, hey, sit down right here, let's play a game of Madden before you go talk to Moses? Or will he say, let's play Call of Duty before you go in there and talk with Christ? Or before you go in there and see all your friends and your family, let's sit down and play a game of Fortnite. Or show me that new phone you have. He's not going to do that. It's not cool. You know what is cool? Knowing God is my Savior. Right. You know what is cool? Not being around fools. You know what is cool? Not getting shot at. You know what is cool? Being faithful to my wife. You know what is cool? She being faithful to me. You know what is cool? Being a good father. You know what is cool? Being a good mentor. You know what is cool? Studying God's word so that you can be approved or show yourself approved. You know what's cool? Being able to go play competitive basketball and preach the gospel to 40, 50, 60 lost souls. You know what is cool? Being able to coach and mentor kids. You know what is cool? Coming to church faithfully. You know what is cool? Studying God's word and knowing what I believe and why I believe it. You know what is cool? Serving God in God's house. What is cool is soul winning. What is cool is being content with what God has given me. That's cool. Dressing modestly. That's cool. Having a testimony that speaks of Christ. When people see you, they rush to you and not to ask you what the new gizzard and gadget is, but to ask you to pray for them. That's cool. We need to stop calling evil good and good evil. How in the world, parents, are we going to expect these teenagers or these younger, what's the class thing called back there? Future leaders to be good Christians if they're not desiring holiness. And all we do is complain about all the standards and the rules and why when we get outside these doors. They're not going to want to desire holiness. They're going to be confused. Just like James 3:10 tells us. Out of the mouth perceiveth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so be. Or like 1 Corinthians 10:21 tells us. This is talking about idolatry, but I figure we can tie it into what we're talking about. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. We can't be at church at God's table and then leave church and sit at the devil's table. The kids are going to be confused. But I thought my teacher said this. Oh, shut up, boy. The teacher didn't say, oh, I wasn't supposed to say that word. Oh, be quiet, boy. The teacher didn't, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. Confusing them. Read off indecency, reform, or ideology. Third, removing. When I preached this at home, it took a little longer. Refrain from indecisiveness. We need to refrain from indecisiveness. Scroll down to verse 18 there in our text. It says, for as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We need to refrain from our indecisiveness. Well, is this okay? Or is this okay? Or hey, if you got to do too many, is this okay? Or what do you think about this? It might not be holy enough to do it. Well, how do I refrain from indecisiveness? I'm glad you asked. Stay grounded in his word. Stay grounded in his word. Turn with me to Psalms 119, verse 9. Psalms 119, verse 9. When you get there, say, amen. I can't say it yet because I'm not there. Hey, man. All right, here we go. Now we cooking with peanut oil. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Not his own word, not the world's word, but God's word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. If you refrain from indecisiveness, you have to stay grounded in his word. You have to. It's the only way throughout this life of being a Christian that you're going to have. You can't hold on to nothing else that's going to get you through this. Preachers, teachers, shame on you if you haven't, if you have the time and it's feasible for you to take Bible Institute classes and you're not doing it. Shame on you. Well, I'm not called to be a missionary or a pastor or blah, 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 or evangelist or this or that. Hey, you don't have to be called to take the classes so you can be firm in the word of God. Take the classes. Learn the word of God for yourself. Or, for instance, like me at the campgrounds this weekend with my family. The three or four classes I took, every last one of them came up. I'm talking eschatology, Bible doctrine, hermeneutics, all of those classes, four, whatever classes, all of them came up. Hey, you may not be called to the mission field, but I bet you going to the camp, family camping or the family reunion or having family come visit or having family come over or having family. That's your mission field right there. That's your mission field right there. Your neighbors, that's your mission field right there. Your friends you at work with, that's your mission field right there. Hey, the people you texting and talking to on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter and hey, that's your mission field right there. How you gonna be able to tell them something you don't even know? Amen. You post-trib, mid-trib, pre-trib, pre-rav? What's my other one, Timothy? Partial rapture. Huh?
Just failed
the course. Yeah. Thanks, Caroline. I don't have to take that test you gave me now. Yeah, what are you? Do you know? Preachers? Sunday school teachers? You know how to write a nice sermon? Huh? You know how you should write a nice sermon, I should say? You probably know how to write a nice sermon, but do you properly know how to write a sermon? Bible history, Bible doctrine. Do you know why we preach and teach from the KJV? Why we stand firm on it? These are all courses that are taught right over there that you should be diving into rather than sitting here helping your kids defend their sin, help them to learn how to defend their Savior. Young people, I'm just in homeschool. I don't remember. Get in Bible Institute. I don't think it's an age limit, is it? Timothy's in there, so it can't be an age limit in there. Get in there. You get saved, you get in there. Get in there and learn the word of God. Get in there. Life of Paul is coming up next. How much do you know about the life of Paul? Oh, he was on Damascus Road. How much do you know after the Damascus Road? Get in there. Stud, get in there so you can be taught properly, so you can go out to this world and be equipped to defend your Savior. Parents, we are bringing our kids to church and helping them learn Scripture, and Master's Club is teaching them Scripture and Scripture and how to be saved. But after they make that profession of faith, what are we doing with them? We need to equip them to be ready to defend their Savior. Instead of sitting in church and learning, well, the Bible doesn't say you can't say these words, or the Bible says Jesus made wine. Do you know what kind of wine he made? Do you know the verbiage there? They're going to be slammed with so much junk when they get outside of these walls. And if they don't know how to defend the word of God, they're going to fall for the first foolish person that starts saying some old rhetoric that doesn't make sense. God's word is key in being holy with a purpose. How did Jesus defeat the devil? Did he punch him in his mouth? Did he yell at him? Did he scream at him? No, he quoted Scripture. That's the same thing we need to be ready and equipped with, is Scripture. Very few places you can go where you have classes like this that's been taught. Very few. Take advantage of it while you're here. Get trained so you can go out and be, God hasn't called me, be ready. You can be equipped. His word, stay guided by his will. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 34. Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. This is Jesus talking with the woman at the well, and the disciples went away and they went and got some meat because they've been on a long journey, and so they're about to have a nice barbecued steak or whatever the case may be that they brought back, and they're like, Jesus, here we have some food for you. He says, no, silly, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I want to see these people saved. Well, I don't know my calling. You know, I mean, he hasn't called me to be a he hasn't called me to be a church planter, or he hasn't called me some cool mission field where I can learn a different language and maybe write some new Bibles for some people in their own language. And he hasn't called me to pastor, or he hasn't called me to teach a Sunday school, or there all the Sunday school spots are filled up in my church, so I don't have anyone to, you know, start a Sunday school with, blah, 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 blah. You want some of your will that God has called for you? Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. You have been called. You've been summoned. God called you. You say, he called me? Oh, yeah, he called you. You might have read over it a lot of times, but you probably just ignored the calling. Chapter 5, verse 16 says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning, the pastor and the PK kids, or the missionary and the evangelist. No. Concerning you, individual, you Christian. But he didn't stop there. He kept going. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to say guided by his will. You need to rejoice. Too many times Christians are sad faced, just popped a lemon and just stuck on the lemon and just frowned up and just angry and bitter and mad at the world and nothing's going right and the this and that and this and I'm just angry, I'm just upset. Rejoice. When? Evermore. Pray without ceasing. When? Without ceasing. In everything give thanks. So you mean to tell me when we lose a championship game, I ought to give thanks? Yeah. You mean to tell me when the flat tire happens and I really need to be at this job appointment because I can make such amount of money, I should be rejoicing and I should be rejoicing evermore and praying without ceasing and in everything give thanks? Yeah. Pray, give thanks when there's money in the account. Give thanks when there's no money in the account. Give thanks when the food is filled up to the freezer. You got options A through Z, and thanks and give blessings to the food when you only have one option. Amen. Pray without ceasing. We spend so much time trying to do things ourselves without praying about it, going about it. Pray without ceasing. Everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Oh, when am I quenching the spirit? When you're not doing things that are holy. Despise not prophesying. Y'all don't find it weird. This is just me talking here. But you don't find it weird that you go out, you know, we come in here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You don't find it weird that you come in here and pastor preaches on a message that you are going through? Like he had a Zoom camera following you every step of the way. And then he's, oh, that's a good point. Point A right there. And then you go and he follow you to work. Oh, yep, point B right there. Oh, you're going. You don't find it weird that it just hit you and he just step all over your toe? Not even just pastor, but Sunday school teacher. All of them. You don't find it weird that that happens? That's, to me, that's very peculiar. That means God loves me. He see me in my needs. Now I can understand how Peter preached that message there in Acts and everyone heard in their own language. We come in here and he preach and the man of God takes the word of God and he preaches the message and then everyone hears and is like, that was for me. No, brother, that was for me. No, that was for me. At that point right there, everybody can do that. Despise not prophesying. God didn't appoint these times for you to be here to hear the word of God for no reason. Don't leave here empty or empty-handed. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. This right here, this is good. This is good. We need to hold fast to it. Oops, sorry, messing up my. We need to hold fast to it. Hold fast to this word of God. This is good. We need to know it. We need to study it. We need to be prepared to teach others it. We can't just carry our Bibles. We need to let the Bible carry us. If we're not, something is wrong. Young people, something is wrong if this Bible is not carrying you. If you begging dad for a new Bible and you carrying it, but is it carrying you? And then, fellas, another thing you need to do, hold fast to that which is good. Watch the purse. Hold right here. Hold fast to that which is good. This is, hey, what proverb say? He who finds the wife findeth a good thing. Sorry, I messed the microphone up. Good thing. Hey, that's better hold on to it. I just set you up right there. You ought to thank me later. Hold on to it. Be faithful to it. Study it. Study it. Learn it. Memorize it. It'd be good for you to memorize that. Because it's a good thing. Hold fast to it. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I know we don't want to. I know it's hard. I know we don't like to because it's uncool, but we need to abstain. We need to abstain. When I was really fat, like real fat, trying to play basketball, my coach said, you need to learn how to say no and push away. And my gut and my mouth didn't agree with that. I like food. But we need to learn how to abstain, do some push away. No, not, that's not for me. That's stopping me from getting to the 100-yard line. I don't need it in my life. His word, his will, stay guided by his ways. Stay guided by his ways. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unable. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How do we stay guarded by his ways? By staying in his ways. His ways are holy. God's ways are holy. When we try and do things on our own, we become double-minded. We become indecisive and want to go this way, or maybe now we should go that way, or maybe we should do this. No, maybe we should do that. Get in God's word. Learn his word. Get in his will so then you can be ready to do things his by his ways. You will reap nothing but goodness. What is so wrong with being holy? What's the alternative? Oh, I look cool. I got a cool girlfriend, or I got a cool boyfriend, or I got this nice fancy this, or my bank account is this, or what's the alternative? What's so wrong with being holy? Psalms 37. Bear with me, the plane is landing. Don't unbuckle your seatbelt yet, though. Psalms 37, verse 25. Says, I have been young and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. What is wrong with being holy? He will bless you. He will protect you. He will guide you. What's the alternative? We get to watch filth on TV. We get to listen to ratchet music. We get to dress a certain way. We get to get drunk and get high and not even remember it the next day. You get to disobey your parents and ruin your life. You get to be miserable and grumpy, trying to fill the void that only Christ can fill. Huh? We try and fill this void, and we have this 10 and a half shoe when you wear a 13, and we're just trying to, I like this shoe, it looks nice, we're trying to force that thing on, it doesn't work, and it hurts. Even if you do get the shoe on, it hurts, and your toes end up all crumbly and hurting and in pain. Why force the shoe on? give you these P words real quick and then we'll be done. But holiness brings peace. Amen. Holiness brings peace. Walmart don't sell that. Can't find that listed on eBay. Target, don't hit the Target. Peace is not found out there in the world. Amen. You find peace with holiness and being godly and righteous in his word. Hey, you get power. You say, oh, I get power? Yeah, you get power. Pray. Ask God. He said the righteous won't be forsaken. He might not tell you what you want to hear, but he's going to tell you what you need to hear. You get peace. You get power. The power that the world strips you from. Amen. The world don't want you to have power. They want you powerless so they can control you. Huh? You get purity. Huh? Holiness brings about purity. You can marry pure. You can have pure friends. You can be you can have a pure parenthood. The world robs you of your purity and your innocence. They don't want you to marry a pure. They don't want you to have pure friends. They don't want you to be a good dad and a good mom. They want to rob you of your purity. You get position. 2 Timothy 1:11 says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. You get position. You get in the will of God to do his will for your life. Purity, position, that you get prosperity. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. What is wrong with being holy if you get this stuff? I mean, if God just crack open a window of heaven and give me a little bit, I'll be thrilled. But he said, I'm going to open up the window and pour it out on you. Man. In John chapter 1, I mean 21, where the fishermen was running away from the will of God. They were out fishing, couldn't catch anything. And then they see this figure afar off, and behold, it's Christ. And he said, cast your net on the other side. And they said, what is this goof troop talking about? We've been out here all night. We're professional fishermen. We know what we're doing. Well, goof troop, you should be fishing for a man and not being a fisherman. But anyway, God still blesses them, and their net was supposed to hold so many fish. But then the net gets filled up with a bunch of fish. Not only just fish, Brother Chad, you know, we like fish. Not them little catfish we caught for the boys. You said, brother, we shouldn't keep these. I said, but the boys like the catfish. He said, brother, you probably it's going to be hard to cut them, clean them. Just keep them, brother. And sure enough, we spent 20 minutes on a little bitty fish cutting it. But anyway, he gave them some great big old fish. And he gave them 153 of them. Big old fish. And the net should have broke, should have snapped, but it didn't. And then when they got to the shore, this is the good part. Then when they got to the shore, you can read it. It's in John chapter 21. This is just my version. They got to the shore, and God had catfish already cleaned and already fired up in grease. And he had some cornbread and some Louisiana hot sauce waiting for him. And he said, leave your fish over there and come in here and come and dine. Come and dine of the... He said, come and dine, the Savior's calling, and they got them some fish. He didn't even take their fish. He already had fish for them. That's how God opens up the window and just pour it out on you. Holiness is boring. Holiness is dull. Holiness is old-fashioned. Holiness is out of date. Holiness is a trend and will ever be a trend. Holiness is right. It will always be right. Holiness is relevant and will always be relevant. being holy with a purpose is achieved by ridding off indecency, reforming your ideology, and running from indecisiveness. Being holy to please God, not to get stuff, but being holy 24/7, not just at church, but being holy so others can see God on you. I forgot to mention this, but the Holy Spirit said, hey, remember this one real quick. We are trying to complete selling two homes, buying a new home. And you can't beat God giving. It's impossible. Yes, I can. I can give him more money than he'll give me. I'm not a, it's not a prosperity, claim it, name it, fame it, whatever kind of church. I'm not teaching that. But you can't beat him giving. And I dare you to try. Last 4 years or so, our house collected so much equity, and now we're in the midst of selling it that God has pretty much given us X amount of dollars. The money that we have given him in a whole year, he's times that by four and given that to us. You can't beat him giving. He will always outgive you. Just when you think he's not, he's working on something behind the scenes and you have no idea about it. I love to, I was giving the Hamilton some peppers, some jalapeno peppers, just to see how much peppers I get coming out the ground. And man, I was talking to other people, we're struggling with peppers this year. Peppers is just not coming up. I had three plants that was just thriving with peppers. You can't beat him giving. You grow that stuff, bring it in here and share it with people, and then just go back home and see how many new buds you have growing on that thing. God is real. He is not fake. He is not phony. He won't lie to you. He will be faithful to you. He will give to you. He will prosper you. He will love on you when you're unlovable. He will bless you when you need it most. He will heal you when you need it most. What's the alternative? Why not holiness? Why not be holy with a purpose? Why not be holy with the purpose? Why not, Dad, so your kids can grow up, follow after your footsteps, do the things you did for God like you did them. For your daughter can desire to have someone that she wants to marry to be just like you. Might not look like you, but just be just like you. Why not, Mom? For you can set the tone for your children. Protect them, guard them, guide them, help them. Why not? Why not holiness? I know it sounds weird because of the whole movement and the holiness movement and the holiness church, but be ye holy for I am holy. We ain't worried about them other churches and what they rob of God's word and misconstrue it. He said to be holy. We don't need to practice it. We need to be it. This is not practice. This is game time. This is game time, and we need to be holy, for he is holy. For he is holy. Let's stand.